This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Calling it an accident. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, April 13. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Authorities in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, say the police officer who fatally shot a motorist during a traffic stop meant to use her taser, not her gun.
A student is dead and a cop is injured after a shooting inside the bathroom of a high school in Knoxville, Tennessee.
On Capitol Hill, the spending that may be cut from the Biden infrastructure plan if Democrats use budget reconciliation to pass it.
And the people eager to again start wearing business attire as part of a return to the office.
Well, it's been more than a year in a lot of cases that people have been working from home, and a lot of clothes have been getting dusty in people's closets, and it looks like they are excited to wear some of these new outfits again.
Krithika Varagor at the Wall Street Journal on getting dressed for work and whether the clothes fit or are even still stylish. A second night of unrest north of Minneapolis, where protesters are angry over the police shooting death of a man pulled over for a traffic violation. In the city of Brooklyn Center, some hurled bottles and other projectiles as police responded by firing tear gas in what appeared to be non-lethal plastic rounds. Meanwhile, authorities said yesterday that the officer in question apparently drew her gun, thinking it was her taser. Police video footage showed an officer trying to handcuff 20-year-old Dante Wright before Mr. Wright broke free and got back inside his car. At that point, a second officer yells, "Taser, taser, taser," before firing a single shot from her handgun. At a vigil last night, Mr. Wright's sister didn't buy the explanation.
"You don't accidentally grab something, point it at them, not realize what you have in your hands. It's just not true."
Relatives last evening remember Mr. Wright as a good-natured father who worked multiple jobs to support his 2-year-old son. The police officer who fired the fatal shot, identified as 26-year-old Kim Potter, was placed on administrative leave. Investigators in Knoxville, Tennessee, say a student was killed after firing on police inside a high school. An officer was also injured in the shootout. Knoxville police responded to a report of someone possibly armed at Austin East Magnet High School yesterday. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation said cops found the suspect in a school bathroom and entered it when he refused commands to come out. The student fired a gun, and one officer returned fire. The officer who was shot was conscious and in good spirits at a hospital. KnoxNews.com says the injured cop was the school's resource officer. David Rausch, director of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
"The suspect was pronounced dead at the scene and has since been identified as a student at Austin East."
This was the latest in a rash of teen violence in Knoxville this year. 4 students from Austin East were killed in separate shootings earlier this year. As coronavirus cases in Michigan have risen dramatically in recent weeks, a top Biden administration official says the state should, quote, shut things down, saying a boost in COVID vaccinations alone is not the answer. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is urging the federal government to send more vaccines. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky:
"The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down."
Data from Johns Hopkins University show Michigan is averaging nearly 7,400 new cases per day over the last week and approaching its pandemic highs set around Thanksgiving. Deaths are also on the rise. Much of the current surge stems from a highly infectious variant of COVID, B117, which is now the most common strain of the virus in the U.S. That said, a new study finds that the strain, first identified in the U.K., spreads more easily than older strains, but does not lead to more severe disease among hospitalized patients. Coming up next, the spending that could get cut from the Biden infrastructure plan. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. President Biden says he views his $2 trillion plus infrastructure plan as simply a starting point for negotiations with Congress. He met with Republican lawmakers yesterday. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Less than 6% of this proposal goes to roads and bridges. It's not remotely targeted toward what Americans think they're getting when politicians campaign on infrastructure.
But the focus on Capitol Hill is already shifting from winning over Republicans to gaming out what will need to get cut if Democrats pass the package through the budget maneuver known as reconciliation. Megan Casella, reporter at Politico, says the strict rules of reconciliation, which require that provisions affect federal revenue or outlays, could also kill some aspects of the plan. Megan, like what?
Obviously, the rules of reconciliation are pretty strict. And loosely, it's something it has to be comprised of provisions that affect the federal budget. So things like the PRO Act that are in there, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, that's all about workers' rights and making it easier for workers to organize and form unions. That's something that's pretty glaringly, seems pretty clear that since it affects employers, it affects workers, the mandates there, that's something that won't be able to be included or to be passed if it goes through reconciliation. Anything that sort of is an employer mandate that asks an employer to do something specific or would require that, that's something that likely will get caught up in those rules since it's something that it doesn't affect the budget itself. That's more of a new regulation, and that's something that can't go through reconciliation. So some of those sorts of things are likely to not make it through, if that's ultimately how this passes.
Paid leave is another one?
Absolutely. And that one's a little bit trickier. So, you know, if it's just about the federal funding being provided for employers to be able to provide paid leave, the funding itself is allowed. But again, it's those mandates. So you can't tell an employer that they have to do this. You can only give them money. And then, you know, some advocates, of course, might question, what's the benefit of providing money for paid leave if you're not actually forcing employers to provide it? The money might be there, but they might not have to give it to their employees.
Yeah. So how are Democrats, say, positioning this or themselves politically with regards to this massive package?
It seems like the White House in particular is currently saying we're looking for bipartisan support. You know, Biden's hosting a meeting at the White House on Monday with a bipartisan group of lawmakers. It's not his first either, you know, and they have a long list of outreach that's been done, and they're really looking for Republican support. But politically, I mean, then there's some things that you have to look at what would never be able to make it through if they do try to get 10 Republicans on board, as they would need to pass this through regular order. So Democrats say, you know, they need to go big, they need to go broad. They are setting aside all of the arguments that we see focused right now on what is infrastructure. Should we focus just on traditional infrastructure? Should we go broader to include the things Biden has proposed? So it's still, you know, it seems like it's relatively early days still. Congress is only back in session this week. And so I think we're really going to see things heat up there in terms of the messaging and so forth on Capitol Hill.
We're speaking with Megan Casella, economic policy reporter for Politico. Her piece is called Biden's Infrastructure Plan Heads for the Senate Shredder. What about climate activists? What's in this for them? What are they watching?
They are watching, I think, a whole bunch of this. For one, the immediate response from climate activists that we saw when the plan was unrolled, or Biden's proposal at least was unveiled, was that they wanted it to go bigger. They wanted far more money dedicated to fighting climate change. But one thing that is in there, the way Biden has proposed it, is some provisions that would roll back all fossil fuel subsidies, subsidies for those companies and tax breaks for those companies, other loopholes and so forth that they benefit from. And they're really concerned that that is something that might get dropped, depending on how this goes. They worry that if it gets down to negotiations and some Republicans need to get on board, they might take issue with that provision. Even some moderate Democrats, there could be a question as to whether Senator Joe Manchin, for example, would support that. Obviously, they'll need his vote even if it goes through reconciliation. And so there seems to be sort of a preemptive battle going on among climate activists and some lawmakers who really support this provision, which climate activists see this as sort of the most basic step you can take. And so they're sort of already starting to launch an attack on sort of why this is so important and really lay out their argument even before it becomes too controversial, because they sort of fear that that's what's coming.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Casella, reporter at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Police clashed with protesters for a second night in the Minneapolis suburb, where an officer who authorities say apparently intended to fire a taser, not a handgun, fatally shot a black man during a traffic stop. Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Gannon described the shooting death Sunday of 20-year-old Dante Wright as an accidental discharge. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
It doesn't need to be this way. We don't have to continue having these press conferences and having what may be a routine traffic stop end in a 20-year-old dead, a family devastated, and a community on edge.
The shooting has sparked protests and unrest.
Number two.
A student opened fire on officers responding to a report of a possible gunman at a Tennessee high school yesterday, and police shot back and killed him. Nashville Bureau of Investigation Director David Rausch says police found the student in a bathroom at Austin East Magnet High School in Knoxville.
As officers entered the space, the subject reportedly fired shots, striking an officer. One officer returned fire.
The student died at the school. The officer was shot in the upper leg.
Number three.
President Biden wants Congress to know he's sincere about cutting a deal on infrastructure.
I'm prepared to negotiate as to how the extent of the minor infrastructure project, as well as how we pay for it.
Biden met yesterday with a bipartisan group of lawmakers. One of the core disputes is over what counts as infrastructure in his $2.3 trillion proposal. The director of the CDC says Michigan should close things down to help address the country's worst coronavirus outbreak, days after Governor Gretchen Whitmer instead urged people to voluntarily restrict certain activities. Rochelle Walensky made the statement after being asked about some public health experts' calls to send additional doses of COVID-19 vaccines to the state, for which the governor has been advocating. The Biden administration has stuck with allocating to states proportionally by population. A postcard written by the Titanic's radio operator weeks before the ocean liner sank in the North Atlantic in 1912 has been put up for auction. The card, with an image of the ill-fated ship on the front, was written by Jack Phillips to his sister in March of 1912 while awaiting the ship's first sea trial. Phillips died in the Titanic disaster. The postcard expected to sell for about $15,000.
That's something. Very good. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, ready to again start wearing work clothes.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's MichiganBusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. Omnipresent sweatpants and spandex marked the early stages of quarantine, but many workers returning to the office now can't wait to say good riddance and dress up like old times for work again. Krithika Varagor, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, has been sampling the feelings of some workers. Krithika, set this up.
Well, it's been more than a year in a lot of cases that people have been working from home, and a lot of clothes have been getting dusty in people's closets, and it looks like they are excited to wear some of these new outfits again.
Do they fit?
Yes and no. There was, I think, a kind of concerning stat that came out recently that on average Americans gained 2 pounds a month during the pandemic. So some people are indeed shopping for different sizes, different, maybe less structured styles, and so on, at least in the near term.
What types of folks did you find are the ones who are eager to put kind of the formal work attire back on?
Really, across the board, people I talked to were in a variety of sectors, from real estate to healthcare. And, I think it's more of a personality thing than an industry thing. People who enjoy getting dressed and don't like this collapse of work-life boundaries, they're the people who I've found are eager to get dressed and get back into the office again.
Yeah. As one person said, and I can relate, I think I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, but said that they feel that dressing up or putting on that formal workwear makes them sharper or makes them concentrate more for some reason.
Yeah, I think that, you know, because it just went on for so long, the work from home thing, and if you're just rolling out of bed and wearing the same thing for working out and being in a work meeting and trying to pick up the kids from school, it can kind of make it hard to get in the zone. And when people are wearing these items like blazers again after a really long time of retiring them, they're feeling, you know, just up to the task.
We're speaking with Krithika Varagor, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "Some People Can't Wait to Dress for Work Again." What about relevant styles? Is that an issue?
Sure it is. Yeah. So we've been hearing a lot about the hybrid workplace, which is this idea that you'll go in some days a week and continue remote working some other days. So it's not back to the same old 9-to-5, 5 days a week. And a lot of the styles are reflective of that. So one of the labels I talked to, M.M. Loeffler, which is a kind of women's wear startup, said they're introducing somewhat more casual and bold styles like vegan leather pants and off-the-shoulder tops. And they've cut down on the number of suits that they're offering. So they used to sell 6 different suits for women, and now they're offering 3.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the kind of direction that workwear is going in.
Thanks, Krithika. Krithika Varagor, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to remind you about PaintYourLife.com. If you're looking for a truly meaningful gift, they did one for me that my wife loves. A professional hand-painted portrait of our kids, one of our favorite photos, that Paint Your Life turned into a real work of art. I chose a world-class artist and worked with them to make sure everything was just right. It takes 5 minutes to order, and in about 3 weeks, you'll have a gift she'll cherish forever. I love their stuff. At PaintYourLife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's fully refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your painting and free shipping. Just text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint Your Life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text the word DEAL, again, to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text DEAL to 64,000.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon DEAL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, April 13. Gordon DEAL, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Authorities say the cop who fatally shot Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, meant to use her taser, not her gun. A student killed by police after shooting at them inside a Tennessee high school. Former Kansas City Chiefs assistant Britt Reed has been charged with felony DUI for an accident that left a little girl with severe brain injuries. Budget deficit, now a record $1.7 trillion. Record monthly demand at Uber. And a snapshot of our new streaming habits as we anticipate a return to normal. That story in about 20 minutes. 3 months after the rioting at the U.S. Capitol building, some of the hardest lessons learned in the wake of that incident continue to be applied by law enforcement authorities across the country. This fortification of defenses comes as others campaign to reduce law enforcement's footprint following months of social justice protests against aggressive policing spurred by the death of George Floyd. It's a story by Kevin Johnson, Justice Department reporter at USA Today. Kevin, take us through this.
Well, as we saw in January 6th and the reaction that federal authorities took following the riots at the Capitol, was a complete lockdown of the property, the campus around the Capitol, using some extraordinary measures, fencing topped with razor wire, armored vehicles stationed at intersections to prevent cars and other vehicles from accessing the property, hundreds of National Guardsmen joining police and patrolling the area. I don't think anybody argued that that was probably a good thing in the aftermath of such an extraordinary event. But a number of local law enforcement agencies, you know, have obviously taken notice of that, and in their attempts to secure their own campuses are using similar measures.
Yeah. All right. So give us a feel for what police chiefs around the country are saying here or doing.
Well, I think the most prominent example that you're seeing is in Minneapolis for the trial of Officer Chauvin and the measures that local authorities have taken to secure the trial there, where there were riots following the death of George Floyd. I spoke to the Hennepin County Sheriff there, who was part of the group that organized the security plan for the trial. And he said very plainly that part of the strategy was taken directly from the reaction to the January 6th riots, and including the fencing and the access restrictions around that building. My colleague, Trevor Hughes, who was in Minneapolis covering the trial, he described in detail what that looks like and bears remarkable similarity to the Capitol.
Yeah. We're speaking with Kevin Johnson, Justice Department reporter at USA Today. He's got a good story entitled "January 6 Changed Everything. Will Capitol Riot Mark a Return to Fortress Policing?" I presume it's kind of certain law enforcement groups around the country after the riots did their own kind of soul searching or evaluation, like was done for the Capitol Police. But there's for and against with regards to how this looks, right? The aesthetics of it all.
Of course, and we saw the pushback, you know, by lawmakers on Capitol Hill in the weeks after the riots, and with the fencing still in place. I think there was a lot of unease among lawmakers about trying to ease some of the restrictions, to return the Capitol to some sort of semblance of normality. Yet that debate continues. It's been complicated by last week's incident on the Capitol, where a man rammed his car into a barricade on the north side of the Capitol. Yeah. And so it sort of reignited the whole debate over extreme security measures and how best to secure the property. But that is a debate that's going on across the country.
Finish up with kind of where we stand with the movement to defund the police that we've heard.
Well, you're right. This is all happening against the backdrop of efforts last year through the social justice protests and campaigns across the country to reduce law enforcement's footprint in communities. And some cities did just that. Kind of moving funds to alternate programs, not defunding the police departments, but moving money around and away from the hard law enforcement or public safety uses that some departments have used those funds for.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Johnson, Justice Department reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, the mic drop. In the sport of business, we're all players, and with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that Hideki Matsuyama became the talk of the golf world after winning the Masters over the weekend, and that buzz continued yesterday for a whole other reason. Early yesterday morning, Matsuyama was spotted at the airport in Atlanta, waiting for a 6:45 a.m. commercial flight just hours after his thrilling win. A fellow passenger on the golfer's flight to Chicago snapped a pic of the new Masters champ, just hanging in the waiting area with everyone else, looking at his phone with a bag in the seat next to him and the green jacket slung over the seat like it was no big deal. According to Golf Digest, this is all very on brand for the low-key Matsuyama, who, despite winning nearly $35 million playing golf, still drives a minivan and, during a rain delay on Saturday, retreated to his car to play video games. The precarious placement of the green jacket did raise a few eyebrows on Twitter, however, with some wondering how it's possible tournament officials don't at least give you a garment bag to carry the famed jacket in.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
They don't give you anything, not even a plastic sleeve. I mean, wow. Maybe he had one and ditched it. I don't know. But
how about just shipping it for him in some specially wrapped garment bag? Right?
Yeah, have it arrive in Japan when you get there.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. Kind of crazy. And then there were other pictures of him walking through the airport, again, just having it just kind of hanging over his arm, just walking around amongst the people.
The way you carry a sports jacket, it's going to drape over your forearm.
Sure, he didn't want to wrinkle it, obviously. Yeah. So he was taking some care with it. He wasn't like he was being careless with it. But what else are you going to do? Getting on a flight, what else are you going to do with it? Didn't want to put it in his luggage, right?
Yeah,
didn't want to check it or anything like that. So it's craziness.
Didn't want some TSA guy to take it out and start wearing it.
Right, right. But again, all of this happening because he decides to fly a 6:45 a.m. commercial flight instead of like a private jet for a guy who's won $35 million. A lot of them would, fly a private jet or at least to Chicago to then get the connecting flight to Japan.
Well, why is he going to Chicago? Isn't he playing Hilton Head, the RBC Championship this weekend Hilton Head?
Somebody speculated he was getting a connecting flight to Tokyo from there, but I don't know. Maybe, again, not exactly sure about what his itinerary is.
I think if I won the Masters and I had the green jacket on me, I'd be wearing it with my arms extended in victory.
Right.
And have hired someone to carry my luggage.
Just enjoying all the adulation you get in the airport.
Yeah. Here I am. Look at me.
And after a year where our patience has been tested at every turn, it's understandable that we could get a little frazzled from time to time and maybe even lash out when we reach our breaking point. It's still always important to remember not to direct your anger toward people who don't deserve it, like, for instance, fast food workers. A TikTok user uploaded a short video recently showing a sign at a McDonald's that reads, "We're short-staffed. Please be patient with the staff that did show up. No one wants to work anymore." The sign echoes issues that restaurants are having around the country staffing up, with pandemic fears, expanded unemployment, and angry customers keeping people from working. The video has been watched over a million times.
Angry customers are keeping people from working?
Well, because people are quitting because they're getting all this abuse that they're getting from frustrated and angry customers.
Man.
So people are abusing them, and people, there are people walking out on their first day of the job because they can't take it. They can't take the abuse they're getting from people. So be nice to the people who do show up for work is the moral of that story.
Right. How about that? People, no one wants to work
anymore. No one wants to work.
The sign says. Wow. Thanks, Mike. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Just following up on our story from the last segment, I just looked at the field for the RBC Heritage this weekend in Hilton Head, South Carolina. It does not look like Masters champ Hideki Matsuyama is playing. Getting a COVID test is going to feel a lot like buying Tylenol in the coming weeks. No appointment or prescription necessary. The FDA recently granted emergency use authorization for two types of rapid result over-the-counter COVID-19 tests. However, these over-the-counter test results are not as accurate as the PCR tests, which require a lab to process. Consumers here must pay for two tests per packet. Currently, the only two at-home tests that don't require a prescription or a telehealth provider to supervise are the QuickVue test from Quidel and the Binax Now antigen self-test from Abbott Labs. A Quidel spokesman told MarketWatch the price point will be less than $30. Abbott told ABC News that its test will be sold in packs of two and will cost under $10 per test. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Minnesota police officer who fatally shot a 20-year-old black man during a traffic stop may have intended to fire a taser. The Brooklyn Center Police Department has released body cam footage of the incident, which has rocked the Minneapolis suburb miles from where George Floyd was killed during a police arrest last May. Dante Wright was shot and died after the traffic stop Sunday. Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott.
Our hearts are aching right now. We are in pain right now. And we recognize that this couldn't have happened at a worse time.
Protesters took to the streets last night in a second night of unrest.
Number two.
The Biden White House is amplifying the push for its $2.3 trillion infrastructure package with the release of state-by-state breakdowns that show the dire shape of roads, bridges, the power grid, and housing affordability. The figures in the state summaries paint a decidedly bleak outlook for the world's largest economy after years of repairs being deferred and delayed. Biden met with a bipartisan group of lawmakers yesterday to try to drum up support for his plan.
Number three.
A woman may serve as Secretary of the Army in the Defense Department for the first time. President Biden expected to tap Christine Warmoth, a former advisor for the Defense Department during President Obama's terms in office, to helm a branch of the military that's under scrutiny amid several recent events, including the riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Families struggling to pay for coronavirus-related funeral expenses can officially apply for financial help through FEMA. Applications for the agency's program opened yesterday. FEMA will provide up to $9,000 per funeral for expenses incurred after January 20th. 2020. West Virginia really, really, really wants you to move there. A new public-private program will try to lure outdoor enthusiasts to live in the rural state with enticements of cash and free passes for recreational destinations. The goal is to leverage the state's natural beauty to stem the tide of population loss. Under the program, out-of-staters who move to West Virginia will receive $12,000 along with passes for a year to indulge in whitewater rafting, golf, rock climbing, horseback riding, skiing, zip lining, and other activities. West Virginia is the only state in the nation that has fewer residents now than it did in 1950.
Oh, that's a weird stat. They've also got Bridge Day, if you like that type of thing. These crazy base jumpers jump off the New River Gorge Bridge.
No, thank you.
Well, that's in October of every year.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you're with us. After a year of staying home, the climbing vaccination rates in the U.S. are getting Americans excited to travel and attend concerts. But MarketWatch says before they ditch their sweatpants and kiss their pandemic pets goodbye, before spending their first work days without them, they're rehearsing what life might feel like in a world with fewer COVID restrictions. In doing so, new data from Taste Drive shows they're listening to fast-paced electronic and rap songs by artists like Lil Nas X, Jacob Collier, and The Weeknd, and watching office comedy shows like 30 Rock. That's a stark contrast to last March when hunkered-down Americans listened to Mozart and Louis Armstrong and watched The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu and Contagion on Netflix. On the reading front, we're taking a break from classic novels like Leo Tolstoy's Anna Karenina. Instead, we're reading murder mysteries like The Guest List by Lucy Foley. We're also reading travel books. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.